listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello! You're listening to The Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with Deb Wolf. I'm back, and as you probably remember, I'm a dog trainer, cat trainer, author, been doing radio for a long time now, won Best Pet Radio in America for this show, and I'm back just to talk a little bit. I don't have a guest today. I was actually hoping to book Darlene Arden today, but I kind of asked her last minute, so it's not her fault, it's mine. And, you know, that's okay. I'll have her on in the future. I've had her on before. I wanted to ask her a little dog question because I have a customer, a friend of mine, a groomer of standard poodles, who is at her wit's end with this tiny, tiny toy dog. And I've given her all the advice I can, much of which she won't follow or take. So that's part of the problem. But I was hoping that maybe Darlene would have some other suggestions for her. What happened to her, this woman? She loves dogs, does not particularly like toy dogs. Especially poorly behaved, nippy-yappy toy dogs who pee and poo everywhere. Many of us don't. And that's what she ended up getting saddled with. Now, she's a groomer, and she loves all dogs, is good with all dogs, is very experienced, has three dogs of her own, two standard poodles, and one of which is father, is my dog. Good dog. Yes, yes, Mr. Red gets a mention for being Vegas' son. Anyhow, and then there's Ebony, beautiful Ebony, who is, of course, Vegas' wife, so to speak, at the time. And forevermore in their hearts, but, you know, one time only. And 14 pups later. Good job, Vegas. Anyway, so there's Ebony, who's black, and Vegas, who's cream, and Mr. Red, who's cream, who all live there, plus Raven, Wolf Cross. So this woman knows what to do. She can get a Wolf Cross to behave and never act out and have a good, happy life. Big Wolf Cross. Counter tape top. Table big. You know how some wolves are so wide, it's like double the width of a normal dog. They almost look like they could support a beverage tray. He's one of those. Big head, big ears. He's getting old now, but still nobody would mess with him. Actually, I'm going to tell you a story about that in a minute, if I remember and don't get too distracted, because I'm so excited to be back on air. But I'll tell you a story about Ebony and Raven in the golf course. Anyhow, so this lady, she grooms dogs, and she gets this one dumped on her that's had six homes in less than that years, and is a little white foo-foo fluffy dog, and she intends to train it up and clean it up and find it a home. But in the meantime, her granddaughter, who spends a ton of time at the house, falls in love with this little creature. And so now the strict rules are being broken by granddaughter, and the dog is peeing and pooing on things left on the floor, like purses and shoes and socks and whatever it can find, furniture. It's acting out in all sorts of ways. Very agreeable dog, though. Lovey, lovey. No biting issues, no nipping issues, just the house training. So I've tried to tell her, take it all the way back to basics. Go all the way back to how you would train a baby puppy. Don't give this dog any freedom at all on the floor till it's empty. Make sure it pees and poos outside. Go with it. You know, all this kind of stuff. And she's half-hearted about it, I think, because I think, as she says, she would like to let it go play with the coyotes on the golf course. Let it out in the night and say, go play with the coyotes. That's her plan B. So we need to get Darlene Arden on the show in the future to try and help this woman, because the suggestions I'm making, she's not taking. And maybe Darlene, who wrote Small Dogs, Big Hearts, and is kind of a specialist with cats and little dogs, maybe she can give some advice I haven't thought of. Because sometimes when you're a trainer, it's really hard. You give advice to the people and they won't take it. And then, you know, you'll go, okay, so if you won't do that, if you won't use a muzzle, well, how about try this? And then they say, no, we couldn't possibly do. Okay, well, how about this? And at some point you run out of options, because basically you're recommending some strict rules and some clear communication with the dog, and the people still, and I'm not talking about this groomer lady, other people, still want to be wishy-washy, still want to be nice all the time, even when the dog's not nice back. And, you know, that's how they got the problem in the first place. So sometimes changes have to be made. Okay, so I want to tell you about something interesting. Now, here's a standard poodle, right? 55 pounds, looks like a little cartoon. She's black. Her name's Ebony. She's probably about 6 years old now, maybe a little less, has one litter behind her, spayed now, beautiful dog, immaculately groomed, right? Her owner's a groomer, poofy hairdo and pom-poms at the feet and just pretty, you know, fur is shiny, black, beautiful looking dog. Okay, so that's Ebony. Now there's her big brother, this big wolf, older than her, slower than her, bad back end now, slips out from under him, gets arthritic, can't have too much exercise, but a serious contender in his day. Wolf Malamute type cross, big, big head and body, big jaw, wise like no dog, susses out people and things well beyond range, you know, really, meets you once, knows you forever kind of dog. Okay, so smart, smart. Anyhow, they go loose, somehow get loose on the golf course. And it's the first time ever Ebony wouldn't come when called. The owner went out and called and called and called and called, and she could hear Ebony barking, but Ebony would not leave Raven. You wouldn't expect that. And what happened was they went out on a little journey, which they shouldn't have, and ran into coyotes. The owner could hear the coyotes too. And they got surrounded. And if Ebony had returned fit, spry, healthy, although poodly, although coiffed to the gills, still a serious dog. Poodles ran the Iditarod. This is no, she can run. She can jump. She can fly. And she's no dummy when it comes to animal communication either. They're not going to trick her either. So the two of them are out there and she knows if I leave Raven, they're going to ambush him. So she doesn't. But she also knows that if she keeps barking, she'll somehow get her owner to come, maybe with the car, and they'll all be safe. And that's exactly what happened. So well done, Ebony. Good decision. One time you didn't listen. Good decision. Good decision. And barking, brilliant. She didn't tell you to speak, but you did because you knew she'd come to you. That's so smart. So yeah, I love it when dogs do the right thing, especially when they override their instructions to do the right thing. It's a pretty amazing quality they have to know when it's necessary. When perhaps their owner just doesn't have all the information, they second guess your command and they don't do it often. A good dog won't do it often, only when absolutely necessary. They have to be confident for that or they make wrong judgment calls. Now, I said about Raven that if he meets you once, he knows you forever. My dog Vegas is like that too. He won't even bark at the regular handyman because he knows who he is. He's like, oh yeah, he's here to fix things. Now, if he tried taking things away, he'd probably start barking. Oh yeah, that's what I want to talk about before we go to break, because we're going to go to break soon and we'll come back and talk about some items in the news and all kinds of things going on lately with cats and dogs. But before we do that, I wanted to say, sometimes we scold our pets too easily. Now, a few weeks back, I had one of my dogs, a very young Noodle, my stud dog, barking. His real name's Canoodle, but we end up calling him Noodle because sometimes it's like he has noodles for brains. He's so hyper and young and playful and silly. Anyway, he kept barking and he kept barking. And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. So I did what I would normally do with a dog like that. The first time I came down and warned him. The second time I put him in a timeout. The third time I removed him from the house, took him down to the kennel and left him there for the night. Okay. That's what I did for Noodle. Well, last night, Noodle's not up here right now because Raspberry, the red standard poodle, is expecting puppies and she doesn't need to be jumped on and bounced on and driven crazy. So he's taking a little break from the house. So last night, Vegas, my older stud male, my, you know, old reliable, trained to walk in parades, visit hospitals, can do anything, never bats an eye. He's like bomb-proof dog. A bomb could go off and he'll just look at you like, yeah. You want to go for a walk? Do you have a treat? You know, he's just cool. Cool as a cucumber. Social all the time. Loves people. Remembers someone after he's met them once. So last night, he was doing this. It started at about 3:30 in the morning. And then at 4. And then at 4:30. And then at 5. I kept going down and reprimanding him and looking around. And I couldn't see anything. I couldn't hear anything. What is he barking at? He's driving me crazy. But I kept telling myself, this is not the dumb puppy who's testing you, or the adolescent male who's seeing, can I wake up the whole house in the middle of the night and get some fun out of it? This is my old reliable. So I decided to give him the benefit of the doubt. I didn't scold him. I didn't time out him. I asked him to be quiet. I looked at him with exhaustion and begging eyes, but I did not tell him no or bad dog or anything like that. Anyway, this morning when I got up and looked around, I discovered that I had accidentally left a full giant big tin of dog food outside, covered and sealed a metal tin, but still. It was turned on upside down. The lid had been pried off and little bits of it, about 6 cups of it, had spilled on the driveway right in front of my front door. The gates are all closed. The fences are all closed. So it's not a neighborhood dog. I know who it is. And good dog, Vegas. I'm glad I didn't scold him because he saved about $45, $50 worth of dog food, but also the dignity of the property, because we had a raccoon last night. That's what we had. And he was doing his job. And this morning, he's exhausted because I know him. He didn't want to be up either. But it was his job. And yeah, exactly. We don't want that raccoon coming around, especially when we're expecting puppies. So good dog, Vegas. All right, everybody. We'll be back. We're just going to go to break on Animal Party at Pet Life Radio. It's Deb Wolf, your host. And if you're despairing because you're a cat person, don't worry. We'll get to some cat topics soon. Stay tuned to Animal Party.
Because the best is yet to come. Stick around.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello! You're back with Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and I promised you cats, so here's something about cats. Sometimes I find myself explaining something to my kids and I make a little note because I realize it's probably something my listeners would be interested in too. My kids asked me, how can the cats catch these little moles and voles? They're little like rodent-like things that really can't see. Their eyes look like they're shut, almost like a teddy bear doll that's had its eyes shut closed to look like it's sleeping. That's what they look like. And they're tiny. About the size of a badminton birdie, maybe, usually. And they're irresistible to the cats who hunt them and kill them and leave them all over the driveway and try and bring them in the house and this kind of thing. So my kids were saying, well, if they live underground, because clearly they do, they can't even see, how can the cats get them? The cats are never dirty. Well, that's a very interesting question, a very good question. So I made my kids, you know, be attentive and quiet, and we watched one of these cats doing it. And what they do is they listen. The cat will stand above the ground, and its hearing is so good that it will actually hear these things in their little tunnels, underneath the ground, moving, digging, eating, doing all the things they do. And the cat, you'll watch its ears move almost like a satellite dish or those old-fashioned ears that we used to have on TVs, bunny ears, when you went to the cabin or the cottage or something, you know, like that. Like they move, they turn to focus on the sound. And you'll even sometimes see one ear go one way and one ear go the other way because they're listening to more than one. It's pretty cool. So then they just wait until they hear the sound getting louder and louder and louder, which means the animal's getting nearer to the surface. And they basically just scoop it up. And it's very, very easy. Very easy. So yeah, that reminds me of a really icky riddle. A riddle cat people will probably appreciate, though. It's, when is half of something worse than a whole? When it's a dead mouse. Half a dead mouse is definitely worse than a whole dead mouse. So, more on cats. I want to talk a little bit more on cats. I've got some cat haikus. And this is from Planet Cat, a book by Arden Moore. And she once told me that if ever I wanted to quote anything out of the book, it was okay as long as I said, Planet Cat. By Arden Moore. So there you go. All right. So cat haikus. Let's see. Oh, I love these. It's so hard for me to pick one. Want to trim my claws? Don't even think about it. My yelps will wake the dead. Like that one. Oh, I like this one. This is for dogs or cats. Want to go outside? Oh, no. Help. I got outside. Let me back inside. You know those dogs who just want in, one out, one in, one out. There's a lot of cats like that too. What those animals really want is your attention. It's just that's the only trick they know that gets it. So you might want to do something else. Get something they can do, like come to your finger, sit, whether it's a cat or dog, on command. Give high five, whether it's a cat or dog, on command. seriously? Yes, I'm serious. No, I'm not just talking to the dog people. Come on now, everybody. Cats can learn. Cats like tricks. If you've got a cat that's doing this, it wants your attention. Okay, I like this one. This is kind of mean, but here we go, cats. Litter box not there. You must have moved it again. I'll crap in the sink. Now, is that true or what? Okay, well, I'm going to stop reading the cat haikus, even though I find them totally irresistible. And this book, Planet Cat, it's a very interesting book. It's different than any other I've read on cats. It's cartoons, and it's tips, and it's whimsical, and it's funny. I know authors cringe when I say this, but it makes a great bathroom book. It's just totally full of all kinds of interesting things, and it's got the sidebars with the haikus and stuff. I really like it. I do. It's fun, totally fun. And yet you're learning as you go because there's a ton of information. The history section, the all different sections about cats, things about cats you wouldn't otherwise know. Okay, so let's see. Oh, I have a question. I wonder how many listeners out there have a dog who just who just doesn't get it when it comes to skunks. I know, I've had dogs like this too, where they get skunked and you think, okay, now that was terrible. They'll never chase that again. And it's almost like they just want it more. They just want it more. And then they become like skunk professionals. Their whole mission in life is to find and seek out live skunks and eradicate them from the surface of the earth. It's terrible. So there is a new product out to fight the skunk odor. There's lots of things on the internet, lots of recipes. The old faithful thing is tomato juice, but they've surpassed that with different combinations of chemicals and stuff. It's a horrible thing, though. And then you think it's masked, and then your dog goes swimming or something, and you can smell it all over again. It's like stuck on him. Yeah, the only thing worse is probably dead seal when they roll in that, or dead fish when it's salmon spawning time. So if you don't live in the Pacific Northwest, those are things you get to avoid. But out here, when a dead seal washes up, the dogs find it. They, I don't know, that's just, it's like, it's a dog party. When you get there to drag your dog away, there's so many other dogs there. They're just rolling in the oily, stinky, horrendously smelly dead seal. So it could be worse, people who have been skunked. Next time I'm on with a veterinarian or a behavioralist that thinks they know a lot of the reasons about why dogs do what they do, I'm going to ask that one. I want to know why, because it seems to me that pretty much almost every dog I've ever owned or known of that got skunked did not then avoid skunks. It didn't. It made it worse. It made them hunt them better, more determinedly, and more successfully even, which is terrible. I've even had dogs who could kill them. And, you know, that's not good. Believe me, that's worse. Okay, so let's get away from this. And thinking about bees, there's been a few things in the news, as there always is lately, the past few years about declining bee numbers. And recently, really a horrible, you know, disease that should be 1 or 2% in wintering hives is up past 50 in some areas, worse. And what does this mean for the future of the bees? At the same time, in the last couple of weeks, at an Oregon school, a small colony of, you won't believe how many is a small colony, 50,000 bees just decided to make their home headquarters, their nest, their Borg hive in the field of the schoolyard. Oh, nice. So they had to call in an amateur bee guy to get rid of them. And he did. He got them to all, you know, relocate nicely. But so you get these weird situations at a time when we know that bees are under siege. And at the same time, I just learned that Harvard University is experimenting with mechanical bees, what they call a robo-bee. It's actually a mechanized little thing, and it will pollinate flowers, food, and fruit if ever we destroy the bees to such a degree that we have no other options. But they're thinking if that doesn't happen, and I sure hope it doesn't, these things will be used for, and I really don't know how, but search and rescue, surveillance, and climate studies. Kind of an interesting thing to get your head around. Sometimes it's a scary thing when we invent something that makes it okay for us to continue. If it's okay for us, if we have fake bees, maybe we don't care, then we can just keep using DDT, then we don't care that the bees disappear. But I think that's a huge mistake nutritionally and just for the earth in general. So I hope this doesn't convince anybody that we don't need the bee. We need the bee. 80 to 90% of our food depends on it. So we really, really need the bee. And I'm not sure these mechanical things are going to do the job the same way. Not even close. We don't even know what effects the bee has that we don't know about. Like, for example, there could be a connection. Bees and honey. honey and pollen and bee pollen, there's immunity strengthening properties and anti-immunity problems that can be helped by these products. And you kind of wonder, with the bees crawling in and out as they do, as opposed to a little machine, what difference that is. You know, there's probably something we haven't figured out. There's a connection. And all the people who suffer from hay fever, there might be something in this for the future. Maybe something we haven't thought of yet. So another thing in the news that I saw, I actually saw it on PetsWeekly.com, which is a magazine that I like. Stacey Mantle's a friend of mine. She's the editor there. And I mean, come on. Okay, like sometimes I like the stuff she has, a lot of times, most of the time. This product, it's diapers for chickens. Now, I'm not sure if she actually featured it or she just critiqued it. I can't remember. I don't know. We were slamming it. We were slamming it. We were talking about it, but at least I was. Because to me, if you have a pet that can't be house trained, it does not belong in the house. Now, no, I might get email about this, but seriously, if it poops and pees everywhere it goes, it's not a house pet. And if you tell me, well, in our climate, it has to be, even though it poops and pees wherever it goes, don't get that pet is my answer. I've held out a long time. I have two little kids who would have wanted every little creepy crawly, from lizards and turtles to fish to hamsters and gerbils and all this sort of stuff. And I always said, you know what? We have a little hobby farm. If it can live outside, I'm okay with it. I'll build you an area. So we do have bunnies and chickens and pygmy goats. Kids love those. There's nothing pooping and peeing in the house except for the cats in their little cat litter boxes. And even that, I wish I could make them all go outside and never go inside, but it's not exactly doable. So I have currently 1, 2, 4 cats, plus not my cat, whom arguably might be my cat. The kids call him Rain, but that's another story for another day. Okay, so we'll be back in a minute. We're just going to go to break again. An Animal Party Pet Life Radio with Deb Wolf. I've got some more news from you, some more stories, maybe some training tips. Oh, and I bet you want to know, there was a Reader's Digest trust test. I was really surprised to see where veterinarians ranked on this. Really surprised. So stay tuned and find out. Pet Life Radio, Animal Party.
Don't leave this party before it's over, because the best is yet to come. Only losers leave the party early anyway. Party on, back in a few.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party with Pet Life Radio with Deb Wolf, your host. And I'm calling in from Camp Good Dog, where there are many, many happy dogs. But me, I'm wishing I live somewhere sunny. I love Camp Good Dog. I just wish the sun would come out. It is raining in the rainforest. Makes the trees green. Makes me wish I could be in Florida like Pet Life Radio. And so Reader's Digest did a trust test. And they tested all kinds of different workers. And I wasn't surprised to see who scored the highest. The highest is firefighters at 89%. And I guess, yeah, we do trust them to pull us out of burning buildings at risk to themselves every time. So that makes sense to me. And then they have all those long-term issues with breathing problems and from smoke inhalation over time, you know. So they really are. They're very fit people who put their bodies in the line. So I can see that. We also trust airline pilots quite highly at 82%, and pharmacists the same, and nurses almost the same at 81%. So those would be kind of the top four. Now, we don't trust our doctors as much as our nurses. They're way down at 74%, which is sort of interesting. And teachers, alarmingly, we don't trust them very much at all. They're down at 67%. But the real surprise to me was that veterinarians were not higher. I thought everybody loved their animal doctor. But animal doctors, veterinarians are down at 67%. So, you know what I say to that? I say switch vets. There are so many choices. There's traditional, there's homeopathic, there's alternative, there's just every kind of vet you could think of. And even amongst the traditional or the blended clinics, there's so many choices. Just like you want to like the person who gives you your physical exam each year, like them enough that it's not a horrible experience that you dread and put off, you want to like your vet and trust them. You know, if you think they're over-prescribing or overpriced or not really trustworthy, then find one who is, because there are some great veterinarians out there. And there's even ways to figure it out online by people's feedback and what they say about their vet. But some ways to go are, you know, you find out their prices. And when you go in, you ask things like, is there a cheaper way to get this medicine if you've, say, got a diabetic pet on medicines? I mean, it can really, really add up. They should be telling you things like you can get them online, or they should be telling you things like you can take this prescription from me to wherever you shop normally for your cheapest drugs, and rather than trying to sell you at their clinic at full markup. Things like this, you know, if you don't trust your vet, I mean, of course they're going to sell it at a high price. Just like your corner store sells milk more expensively than the big box store, your vet is going to sell the drugs more expensively than the big box store that sells huge amounts of every drug all the time. Of course, but that's the convenience people who don't mind paying are willing to pay. It's not something you should be stuck with if it matters to you and you go to the big box store for your own drugs anyway, or you get them online. There's lots of companies that do that. I mean, the medicines we get for pets are basically the same as the ones for people. Different prescriptions for different uses sometimes, but you can take your veterinary piece of paper the same way you would your doctor's piece of paper to wherever you normally go. So that's the kind of thing you want to look for. If you have allergies or some kind of situation like that, and your vet is recommending special foods, you know, if he's right away going to the most expensive prescription diet he sells without trying other things, mention it. Are there any cheaper alternatives? Are there any more natural alternatives? Because feeding a dog or cat that isn't ancient and cancer-ridden, feeding that animal the most prescription diet there is seems to me to be overkill. They may just be allergic to a certain preservative or a certain protein. There may be a way to just switch foods and have a food that's really got power to it, as opposed to something designed not to irritate, aggravate, to be the blandest hospital food going. You know, I really don't like seeing pets under 10 on this kind of boost type equivalent that people drink, you know, the little milk drinks that they drink when you're absolutely sick. You know, it's not supposed to be for kids. It's not supposed to be for young adults, you know what I mean, who are healthy. So if your pet has an allergy, it's worth figuring out. And there's all kinds of ways to figure it out. The best way is to just look at the ingredients on the back of the bag of the food you're feeding now or the cans and switch to something quite different. You know, other people would say you should just switch one ingredient at a time. And as a detective, that's probably the smartest way to go, because then you quickly figure out, oh, it's chicken that bothers him because this one didn't have chicken and that one did. Right. But if you're not such a detective and you haven't begun the process, it's not like you've tried and tried and you just can't figure out. You're just thinking, well, maybe his chronic ear infection, or maybe he's always itching because of a diet allergy. I should try switching foods. Then just switch to something dramatically different. If you were doing, you know, rice and chicken-based food, switch to duck and potato. Like, just go. Now, you might not know if it was the chicken or the rice that bothered him. You might have to test that out a different time after he's been on the good food for a few weeks. Try giving him actual chicken or giving him actual rice and seeing if, you know, which one tips him off into diarrhea city or vomiting or scratching or whatever it was that was bugging you in the first place. So that would be a way to narrow it down backwards. If you just want a quick result, you could just switch dramatically. If you want to really figure it out, then switch just one ingredient in the food. Another easy way to do it is just for a time, go to cooking for your own pet for a few weeks. Cook some rice, some veggies, some meat. Go pretty high on the meat and veg, pretty low on the grains. Make a big crock pot of this and figure out if your pet immediately is fine and it's the same protein and the same grain and the same veggies on the back of the dog food label that you were using, then it's the preservatives that's setting him off. Now you just need to switch to preservative-free type. Make sure it's sealed. Make sure it's out of the sun and out of the heat. Buy smaller quantities because they don't last as long, right? They no preservative. And you're home free. So that's another way to go. Give you a lot of information there. I wasn't expecting to do that. Sometimes it just happens. So we've had some animals in the news, And I always wonder about sentencing. This one is a man accused of running a puppy mill is arguing that the search was illegal, and he's basically getting his time in court. He said he was building new kennel buildings and that there was nothing wrong with what was going on. But of course, the animals were found in, well, this is what they said. The veterinarian who examined the dogs found tooth and nail issues, matted fur, and varying degrees of ocular pathology. That's eye problems. Some also had luxating patellas, that's knee problems, or floating kneecaps, a common condition in dogs. So they basically found far too many pets. They seized 14 small dogs that were all in various states of distress. And this guy's arguing they shouldn't have come on his property the way they did. It's upsetting to me. Now, here's an Only in Canada story that isn't upsetting to me. I like this one. This is funny. A beaver, Canada's most iconic animal, is making an attempt to find itself a home. Where? Oh, yeah. One of Canada's biggest cities, in the heart of downtown Vancouver. Now, we've had dolphins swim through there eating herring. We've had whales come through there to thrill the downtown people who can't believe their luck. But this one, a beaver? Seriously? And, okay. So nature lovers are all into it. People are going out renting canoes just to get close to it. People are saying, don't do that. Leave it alone. Take pictures with a zoom lens. Stay away from it. It shouldn't be there. Now, it's decided to camp out in this little tiny green space where there's like a slow-moving freshwater channel about 100 meters long. And it's got shrubs, and it's got paths, and a little kid's playground. And then people walk their dogs by constantly. And like, there's just not enough food. There's not enough space. It's not a flowing creek with salmon coming a couple times a year. I mean, it's just not going to do it for him. So they're hoping people will not try to feed him. There were people reportedly releasing live fish. And I understand the sentiment, but that's a mistake. If he gets fed there, he might stay there. He'll die there. So let him figure out that he's hungry and float downstream and find his own pond and do his own thing, damming and eating the fish there and living his life. I once saw an IMAX movie about that, and it was so cool. They showed you under the den and in the den and all the different things of this one giant family. I mean, a couple generations, and just it was very, very cool, very interesting. But there's actually a shortage of them in Scotland, and they've been importing them from Canada lately. I found one killed by a car on the road last year. And I stopped to look at it because its coat was just so magnificent, so thick and so beautiful and so many shades of brown. It was really an interesting animal. I'd never seen one up close that way. And such a strange shaped animal, almost shaped like a big giant ball. Very interesting animal with a very strange tail and face. The whole thing was really interesting. So I hope that people will leave the beaver alone and let him go where he has to go. Poor little beaver lost downtown Vancouver. Must be so confused. Although there could be worse places to be lost, I'm sure. So, well, I had some more sad news, and I just don't want to share any more sad news. We'll have to wait. We'll have to do that another time. There was one time recently, this is, I guess, in honor of Mark there at Pet Life Radio in Florida, where I was flipping on the TV, and it was Housewives of Miami, and I never watched those Housewives shows. I just thought, oh, no, grab the remote. But before I could grab the remote, oh, the housewife is crying, but she's crying because she had to put her little dog down. And I just couldn't change the channel then. And basically, the dog went to the hospital. All of a sudden, it was seizuring. Something odd was happening. Took to the hospital. They thought it was stable. She got a call to go back, and the dog had died. And I wonder, it was the day of a big party, and they were having all these decorations. And I'm just wondering if it had something to do with cleaning products or toxins or poisons. I'm getting choked up, sorry. It was a cute little dog. I was watching the show and I thought, you know, maybe people don't realize how vulnerable dogs and cats, but especially teeny tiny dogs are to toxins. They're really, really vulnerable, more so than children, because they're always naked, they're always barefoot, they're always walking around low to the ground where all this stuff settles. If they get toxins on them, their only way to remove it is to lick it off. So even something like ant bait, someone well-meaning with the catering company saw some and put some down and did the liquid, got on the dog's paw, the dog licked it off. That's the kind of thing that could happen. So you have to be vigilant. If you're planning a party, if you're having strangers in, little dogs should not be all over the place in the fray. Even if they're well-trained and friendly, they can get stepped on and break something. Quite literally, they can get picked up and dropped. Little dogs should be put in a safe, safe place away from all this. And it's just heartbreaking to see, but I'm not going to watch it again. It wasn't, I won't go back. I won't. I could see how it could become a guilty pleasure. I definitely have enough of those with my True Blood werewolves and other shows I watch while I work out. Well, any show that has wolves as part of the cast is going to get my attention, as you can imagine. But I guess we're coming to the end of the show. I've been talking for quite some time here. One more warning for you. Here's a funny one. I had an accident. I was going out. I had to get dressed up. It's this relief, animal relief thing, dance and dinner and silent auction for animals in Guatemala. So I wanted to look good and I wanted to go and did, you know, blow dried my hair. And then I thought, oh, no, it's too straight because I have curly hair. I thought, oh, it's too straight. So I took out a curling iron, which I never do. Plugged it in, started to curl my hair. Okay, it's looking okay. It's looking okay. I unplugged the curling iron, started doing my makeup, and my cat decides it's fascinated with the curling iron and the cord. And boy, did I get burned. So if you're ever using a curling iron, make sure your cats are not around because it can be dangerous. All right, everybody. So that's it for me for Animal Party on Pet Life Radio for this week. And I'll be back soon. Stay tuned.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.